The series that I'm going to share with you in the evening had been done here 15 years ago as just a bonus for the Wednesday night. Never known that that series of the study became the Old Testament survey, and there are 50,000 books published on this simple study of Jesus in the Old Testament. And so every Sunday we're going to look, God's willing, if the Lord will, as we learned this morning, if the Lord will, every Sunday we will look into a book of the Old Testament and draw a picture of Jesus, the most obvious, so that you know that the scriptures really talks about Jesus, whether you are in the New Testament and or in the Old Testament. We will not force the scripture, we will see that the scriptures will unfold properly for you. Now, as a way of the introduction, we will have first the general information. Let's look to John Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 39. Now, this is very important to us. Jesus is talking. He's talking to the Pharisees in John Gospel in chapter 5 and in verse 39. And Jesus is exhorting the Pharisees, and he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they refer to the scriptures, are they which testify of me." Now, you know that the word scriptures is in plural. See, as you take a good look in verse 39, you see that he said, "Search the scriptures," not just one scripture of the New Testament, but Jesus is making the point that we now search the entire scriptures. And that's the best English word for translation of the entire Bible, the scriptures. And so Jesus said that the whole scriptures speak about himself. If we take the second passage, is in Luke Gospel, chapter 24. This is when Jesus is walking with two disciples in the road to Emmaus. And in verse 27, you remember they were sad because Jesus died. They were sad because he was crucified, and they were putting all their hope in Jesus, and something went wrong and he got killed. And so they were not what to do about it. Then Jesus come along, and look at it in verse 27. He said, "And beginning at Moses." Now, when the Bible said Moses, remember, was written, Luke is a Greek, and he was a medical doctor, but he used the Hebrew terminology. If you have a Hebrew Bible in your hand, which opened from the right to the left, then the first thing you see in the Hebrew Bible said, "The books of Moses." How many are they? Let's see. How many books wrote Moses wrote? Is the first one? Genesis. Second one? Exodus. Leviticus? Numbers? Deuteronomy. All right. That's what that means. That's what Jesus said here in verse 27. "At beginning at Moses," beginning on those five books, "and all the prophets," Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nahum, all the prophets, look at what he said. "He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning," what? Himself. He did not review within the history of Israel. He reviewed only one thing, Jesus Christ. We have some guests this morning, after this service, want me to talk about another man who has committed gross errors. And I said, in this church, we talk about what you hear, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you study the Lord Jesus Christ, and then measure every man by the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not talk about anybody else. We don't have time to talk about anybody else, because the scripture doesn't talk about anybody else. You see it right here, he said, "He expounded unto them the things concerning Christ." Now, I don't know why verse 44 is almost a repetition of verse 27, but it's a little expounded. If we go to Luke chapter 24, and in verse 44, Jesus said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Now, we know in English the word Psalms as a book of Psalms, but in Hebrew, the Psalms are other books that we call historical. They're called Psalms. And so Jesus is saying, you know, all things need to be fulfilled that were written in the first book, five book of the Bible, in all the prophets, in all the Psalms, concerning what? Concerning Him. And so the entire Old Testament, if somebody asks you, what is the Old Testament for? The entire Old Testament is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, when you go to the Old Testament, you have to really look for, and the New Testament is so easy to understand Jesus. But in the Old Testament, as you will see it, what I'm going to do with Genesis, you need to compare certain scriptures. They are obvious talking about Jesus when you compare with the New Testament. Now, there is one scripture in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, and in verse 7, to really explain it all. And I don't know if all of us have the King James Bible, because these words change according to translation. And I don't remember the NIV, what they said of the New King James. But I read the text and you tell me if it's any difference. Hebrews 10 and verse 7. Then said I, this is a quotation from Psalm 48. Then said I, lo, I come. Now the King James said, in the volume of the book. I guess the Revised Standard said in the scroll of the books. Any other, rather the volume, any other word? Do you have American Standard? No.
No.
Okay. Does anybody have New King James? What they said?
Volume.
What about all the translation? No other translation or mistranslation? Nothing. Okay. Here we are. Then I said, look, in the volume of the book, it is written on me to do thy will, O Lord. Now, volume of the book. Now, here's one book. Now, how many volumes are in this book? 66 volumes. So, in the volume of the book, see, inside this Bible, there are 66 volumes, 66 books. So, the text said, in the volume of the book, the original used the word scroll. In the volume of the scroll, it is written about what? Me. So, it is good. And I'm going to repeat this on every Sunday until those texts get into your head that the Bible is talking about Jesus. Now, the first book of the Bible is Genesis. And so we are going to Genesis now and study the specific information about the Lord Jesus. All right? In the book of Genesis. Now, the first book of Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, excuse me, it's only one book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 3, and verse 15. This will look to you like an odd text, but this is the first time that the information about Jesus is implied. So, Christ's identification is implied. Let me read for you the text. Chapter 3 of Genesis is the fall of man. And in verse 15, God punish and reward the women. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between the serpent and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, the serpent is called in the Bible Satan. Remember, there is a lot of passages. You can go in your concordance. And the word serpent is a representative of Satan. And look at what the verse says then. I will put enmity between thee, between the serpent and the woman, between Satan and the woman, and between the seed of Satan and the seed of the woman. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so the whole gospel there, you can take word by word and see the process of the entire gospel is there. So here is what I said, the identification of Christ is implied. And of course we need to work on it to find out what it is. A Savior will come. A Savior will come to redeem mankind to God, but have to be the seed, singular, Noé, the whole seed, the seed singular of the women. One particular. See, now remember this. Here's a promise of God. All right, mankind failed. And God said, I'm going to redeem mankind. And I'm going to take the seed, one seed of that woman, and make him a redeemer. All right? Now, Christ's identification was mistaken, because when you read in English, you never know. But if you look in chapter 4, in verse 1 of Genesis, Adam and Eve conceived, and they have first baby. Do you girls know what the name of the first baby was? Cain. All right? Now look, see, when you say Cain, means nothing to you, but a Hebrew will understand what that means. Let me read the verse. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. He conceived with his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now the word I have gotten a man from the Lord means Cain. That's what the name Cain means. I got a man from the Lord. Now the woman heard very well God in chapter 3 and in verse 15. God said a seed of the woman will redeem mankind. When she found herself pregnant, first time in the world, and then she delivered a baby, she said, I got the man. And I don't blame Eve for making the mistake, because God just told a year before, he said, well, you know what happened is, don't worry, a seed will come out of you, and that seed will redeem the world. When she had a baby, she made a mistake, but she, with all honesty, said, well, I got the baby. There had to be this, the savior of the world. Now, Cain came to be a very bad guy and proved not to be the savior of the world. As a matter of fact, he named one of the cities, which is Nofkov in Iraq today, was named by Cain as one of his sons, because his son Nofkov was the inventor of the organ. If you read Genesis 4, you find all the details. So Cain was taken for Jesus. Now, guess, and don't make ever a mistake like that. You know, there was a man who came to New York. He said that he was the Christ, was from Korea. Remember that? Makes a big deal. And a lot of people trying to identify like Jesus. Like Cain, like poor Eve, she had not the whole information. She had no Bible whatsoever. God was talking to her personally, and therefore, she made a gross mistake. But she got the idea, a Savior has to come, and has to come from me, from a woman. So cannot be an angel, is that right? It cannot be an angel, there has to be somebody that comes from a woman. Now, Christ's identification is materialized. We have to go to the New Testament. See, we have to get the second part of the Bible together with the first one. And in chapter 1 of Matthew, and in verse 18, it starts the description of the birth of that baby. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, is given as the unfolding of the promise of God now fulfilled. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, the King James here is spouse, but she was not the spouse, engaged to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. You know, they were just a fiancé. And then she said to Joseph, I got a baby. And Joseph said, what am I going to do? I don't want to marry a woman with a baby. But he was a very godly man, don't want to make any big deal about it. And so in verse 20, the Bible said, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, engagement, I don't know in America, well, I make a big deal when Miriam was engaged to Danny. But I don't think if people, like I trained Miriam, she would not come home and said, I got engaged. That would be no acceptable to me. See, anything you plan to do, you go through daddy and mommy. And that's the way. The same happened when Danny came in. He said, I had to talk to your parents. And he said, well, I would like to be engaged. He said, well, that's incidental. I had to talk to your father. And when he gave the okay, and I give the okay, that's going to happen. Now, poor Danny, he went through all of this, see? But it's beautiful, you see? It's beautiful. And it's marvelous. And so that's what happened here, you know? Poor Joseph, he said, boy, my family knows about it. Now, another thing is important in the Bible is when you have a fiancé, you don't see anybody else. You only see your fiancé. It's like a husband. And you go, it's very serious. It's not that you are free to go with this boy and go with the other boy. That's not in the Bible. See, that's very serious. And so I can see the drama. Here is Joseph put all his life on this girl. And she is pregnant. What do I want to say to my friends and to my parents and all of this? And then the Holy Spirit comes and said, hold, Joseph, what she have, yes, it's a baby, but it's not a baby because she have been with a man and now they have conceived a baby. God intervened. And look at verse 21. We studied this morning. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Verse 22 said, now all these things was done, that it may be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin. And that's a quotation of Isaiah chapter 7. Now, here is the key. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God, in a nutshell, said, here is the plan of salvation. A woman will have one seed, and that seed that will come to that woman, that seed will be the redeemer of the world. Now the women have a seed, but that was not the... See, she thought it would be through a man. But you know why it was not through a man? Let me show it to you. Romans 5, in verse 12. Here is the reason why she cannot conceive from a man and be the savior of the world. In chapter 5... Now remember, the Savior needs to be sinless, no sin. The Savior needs to be perfect. And look at what Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passeth upon all men. See, when a baby is born, and is born of a woman and a man, a baby is born with sin. We are born with that damage, with that disease of sin. Now, the doctor explained very carefully in long terms that the disease that I have in my jaw and everything came from my mother, who at the age of 35 cannot hold teeth any longer, and the gum was eaten by the disease, and she had no even gums. And so he said, these pass it to you because you are her son. And that's what happened with our sin. Pass it from a man and a woman to their inheritance. And so, of course, Eve did not have that information in Genesis chapter 4, but now we have information that anything born of mankind is sinful until God redeemed that. And the Redeemer needs to be done by God. And so God intervened. He comes, zero in, and Mary, Blessed Mary, and touch her, she conceives, and even the name of the baby is given. And now Christ's identification is applied. Now that's why in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12, and many of you know this verse by memory, the Bible exclusively narrowed down our salvation in one name. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, said the Bible, for there is none other name under heaven. See? No other name under heaven given is in the scripture among men whereby we must be saved. Now why? Because that's the only baby that was born from God. The only baby. Now Muhammad may be a great guy. Buddha may be a great guy. Baha'i may be a great guy. Anybody can be a great guy. But you need to be born of God. And the only person born of God, said the Bible, is Jesus. Christianity is narrow, and Christianity also identified clearly the Lord Jesus as the only one. Now these bring to us to some conclusion. Now look at what Jesus said in John 11 and in verse 26. Jesus was talking to one of the sisters of Lazarus, and Lazarus was dead. And Jesus said, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then Jesus asked her the question, "Believest thou this?" See, Jesus gave the information. That information in your head will not save you. Information in your heart will save you. See, that's the difference. And so Jesus helped Lazarus' sister to understand, because she said, "I know," previous to this, Jesus said, "Your brother will live again." And she was a theologian. He said, "I know he will live. The resurrection will be on the last day." She knew everything in the scripture in the mind. So Jesus had to help her to put it in perspective. And Jesus said, "Whosoever live and believe in me shall never die." And now Jesus put the whole thing together and said, "Believers, that'll be, do you believe this?" Yes or not? And so the question tonight is this. I ask you the great question. And the great question is the only question that is written and is there. Do you believe that Jesus came from God, and that Jesus is the seed of that woman to save you? Now, you cannot reason this. You cannot say, "Well, how come the Spirit will go inside you?" There is no way to explain it. There is only one way to go. And the way is, I do believe that God in love has touched Mary and give me that seed of the woman that in Genesis 3:15 was promised. See, God did two things to me there. Number one, the woman was the first to sin, remember? But God redeemed the woman. Out of the women who sin come the salvation of the world. See, doesn't matter how big of your sin, God can still use you. God can still use you. And then remember, when somebody comes and give you any other plan of salvation, you have to say, "I'm sorry. If the Savior is not Jesus, then the Savior is not the seed of the woman." Because the Savior need to be the seed of a woman without a man. And the only person that fits the bill is Jesus. So in the book of Genesis, Jesus is the seed of the woman. So that nobody through the centuries can make a mistake. You know, through all these years, and I don't know how old is the world. Some people say 13,000 years, others say 2 million years. It's incidental. How long is this world? Still, the seed of the woman is the only Savior. Thank God that on the first pages of the Bible, he told us who would be our Savior. So to believe in somebody else, many times I listen in television channel 374, which is the Mormon temple from Salt Lake City. And the reason why I listen is the praises to God. They have hymns, they have all our hymns, and they have those choirs and the pipe organ, and the guy preaches so good. Then your heart pumps until he comes with that guy's Smith. He said, "Because I'm a prophet." And I said, "Yeah, it's me." Oh, I said, I just want to call him. There's no phone number. I want to call him. So you got it wrong. Smith was born of a man and a woman. But Jesus was born only of a woman. See what the Bible said? The seed, singular, of a woman. Not a man and woman. The seed of a woman. Let nobody fool you. We got a Savior. That Savior is the seed, singular, of the woman. Nobody else did the deal. But God bless us that this Christmas, when we celebrate Christmas, we can say, thank you, Lord, that at the very beginning of the Bible, you have left for us the information that we need so that we can believe in you. But remember the question of Jesus. Believest thou thee? Do you believe it? If you believe it, you are okay. You don't believe it, you know what happens? You go to college, and they give you all kinds of information, and then you become confused. But if you have Jesus in your heart, you cannot become confused. My daughter went to Davis and studied science and all kinds of things, and she and I will discuss the crazy things people say about creation and biology and all of this. And she will laugh about it. And the only way she got it wrong is because in the test, I said, say this. And one time I even went to talk to the head professor over there. My daughter will answer your exam in this way. You said, or that book said, and then she will say what the book said. And then she will say, if you want to know more about it, come to my apartment here in this address. And one time, the chemistry professor came. He said, what do you know that I don't know? And she was able to open in the apartment with the Bible and explain it to her. She said, I know. So I'm a Christian too. She said, I knew that you have something the other guys do not have. You do it with class. You do it respectfully. But you're taking a stand. But the key is, you believe it. It's not how much you have in your head, it's how much you have in your heart. See, in Christianity, it's not the kukusa that comes, it's the heart. But you believe it, that's it. You know it. Now, you know, girls, that the Savior came out of a sea. No other can be the Savior there. Thank you, Father, that your Bible is so clear, it's so beautiful. Show to us, with clarity and simplicity, the great plan of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that in Jesus Christ we have the seed of the woman who has saved us, who has redeemed us. Oh, Father, help us not only to understand it, but to believe it in such a way that will put us away from any other teaching so that we have a clear view of who is our Savior. Bless those who listen to this tape later on so that they too may know that Jesus Christ is the seed of that woman. To you, O God, be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God.